taught me how to live, you know, a clean life. And he's gave me a wonderful life, a love life today, just through this fellowship and this program. I guess I'm supposed to talk about 1 through 2, 3. I was powerless. My life became unmanageable. It pretty much became unmanageable when I first picked up, you know. I was like 7th grade or something like that. Started with the alcohol, and I liked it. And I was stealing from my parents then, you know, their booze, taking it to school. There's like 5 of us. We'd get blasted at the gym. You know, then I'm not unmanageable. I don't know what the hell it is, but it just progressed, this disease. And, you know, I had to admit I was powerless. And I did, you know, early on. You know, I couldn't stop. Even when I jammed myself up, you know, and I got sent away and stuff, I still carried on, man. You know, kept using, you know. All while I was down every time, and I always told myself that, you know, I'll quit, especially when I got out, you know, I ain't doing this shit no more, but continued to, as soon as I got out, and kept going downhill, and finally admitted, really, you know, that I was powerless, and I've been in, I don't know how many different rehabs, and put myself in a rehab, and I got 90 days clean, and that was a miracle, man. I got one of the tags, man. That was a miracle in itself, but I didn't take none of the suggestions, and I went right back out after like 91 or 92 days of clean, but I loved it. I loved the 90 days, and it took me about 2 months, as they say. You know, shit gets worse. And it got a lot worse. I was sitting back in Orange again. And about this time, I don't know if I surrendered when the cops came, because I didn't have to answer that door that day. But I did. Or when I got to the jail and I got on my knees, man. Man, I got there, man. I went to my knees, man. I asked God. I said, please, God, help me. You know, I don't want to be this person no more. You know, I want change. You know, I want change. You know, and shit started happening in my life. Then, I mean, things started changing, and you know, I got out of a lot of shit that I was in that time, and I started coming back to these rooms, and my life started. You know, getting better. But, you know, I lucked out. You know, I don't know if it was luck, but, you know, step two, come to believe a power greater than me. You know, I was raised Catholic, and I had a religion in my life. I had a God in my life, and I thank my mother for that. You know, because I see, I was just talking about this to somebody else. You know, I come to these rooms, and I see people don't have a clue, you know, about a God or not. I sit back and, you know, and watch him. And that's another miracle I get out of here, because then I get to see, man, I get to see people when they, you know, when they find that, man, in their lives, and that shit brings tears to my eyes, you know. So, wow, man. And, but I had to start using that God instead of praying for shit, you know, get me out of this, get me that. I started had to learn how to use them, you know, bring them into my life differently. And it was different, you know, because I heard different, you know, aspects of a God in these rooms. And I had to find a God of my own understanding. And it took a little bit, but he's wonderful, man. That's why I'm here. I mean, there's no other reason I'm here. God brought me here. And it's such a blessing to be here. I had one problem, though, with step three, man, is when I turn my will and my life over to God, I keep taking it back. And I pray for that every day, you know, to let him guide me. But it's hard, man. Shit's hard because, I decipher through, what's his will and what's my will. And I use my will a lot still. And I'm catching it, though. And I pray on it. And I'm getting better at it. It's a blessing, though, when I do get to use his will and get to carry this message to other suffering addicts. But, like Jason said, we do H&I, man. Like, the last time I was down, I was in the county jail, and two guys was bringing it into Indiana jail. And I go every week, and there it's every other week. And I'm like, man, it'd be great to be able to do this, you know. To get clean and come back, you know, and bring this message. Because that was my second home. Yeah, I was there all the time, you know. It'd be different to be able to go there just for an hour, be able to come back out. But I didn't know if I could stay clean, you know. I never have before. Man, I walked out the door, I was using again. And I was scared to death. And I lucked out. And I can't say it lucked. There's a guy working in my life. I got to go back to rehab before I got out of there. And I got out of there. It was weird because all I was in there kept telling me, you're going to meet people. You're going to see people that you used to do. As soon as you get out, you know, you're going to run back into that people, places, and things. Well, they dropped me off in front of the courthouse. I got out of the door, started up the steps, and there's my co-defendant from the last charges I had. Standing there, man, I was like, man, these guys ain't lying either. And it's like, you know, first thing he says, man, as soon as you see your PO, man, come on up and let's have a beer. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, nah, thanks, no thanks. You know, and what I heard all while I was in there is as soon as you get out, man, get to your meeting. Get to a meeting as soon as you can. You know, I think that's one of the things that saved me this time, man, because as soon as the first meeting came around, I was there. You know, and them two guys that brought in H&I to me, they were there. And after I got off of paper, man, I got the honor and the privilege to carry the NA message into that county jail. And, you know, I don't see too many people in that orange there. You know, they come here. Like, they might come for a minute and then they're gone again. You know, but I still pray for them. But one day at a meeting, some guy came up to me, gave me a big hug, man, and said, thanks. I said, for what? He goes, I don't remember me. I'm like, what? He says, from the county. I was like, oh, wow, man. Like, they look a lot different in street clothes than they do orange, you know? And, you know, that's a blessing. I hear, you know, he don't live around there anymore, and I hear he's doing real good. And he thought it was wild because I said, that's my sponsor. He's the one that brought it into me. And, you know, I said, you know, I'll hopefully even go do it for somebody else. And, you know, that's I believe, doing God's will. And, you know, I continue. Some days I say, I ain't going to do this no more. I want to give up my commitment. But it's like the best meeting I go to. You know? I love it. That's where I came from. And I don't want to go back. I'm scared if, you know, I keep quit doing what I'm doing today, you know, I will go back. And I fucking don't want to do that shit no more, man. It hurts too bad. You know, like I said, shit makes me nervous. This house still, I'm. I love this place, though, man. I love it. I love this amphitheater. I told my wife one day, I said, you know, when I die, there's so much spirituality and love in here. You know, I said, cremate me and sprinkle around this fire pit. You know, that'd be awesome. So watch where you're stepping if I ain't here someday. But you know, I go back to powerlessness. You know, I'm powerless over, you know, everything, is pretty much so. You know, it's wild. I don't know. I don't even know what more to say. All I can do is pass it on. for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. Our second speaker comes from the New Visions Group in Altoona. His name's Ron S.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Ronald Menotti. And first of all, I'd like to thank God for everything. And I mean everything. It's really an honor and a privilege to talk anywhere about the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And when I was asked to do this, it's real ironic. Every year this retreat falls on my anniversary, the weekend of my anniversary. Somehow the 25th of August is my clean date. And it seems like it's always in that weekend. So it's always a personal joy to do this, but it's also a privilege and an honor. And when I was asked to speak on step one, step two, and step three, those are the foundations of my recovery, and I want to talk about me and, you know, get on this ego thing, but it ain't about me, man. It's about what this program has done in my life. And I remember when I got here, this was the last house on the left. I was going to do this, so I was going to do myself. Because I was tired of being tired. At some point in my active addiction, I came to the realization that I wasn't brought up to be the person I had became. And at the end of my run, well, back up, the last 6 months of my active addiction, all I could do was walk around and ask God to help me. And I didn't know what I wanted him to do, but I wanted help real bad because I was hurt. And I wound up in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and I love my sponsor because my sponsor explained some things to me that I couldn't comprehend without the help of somebody else. At that point, my crisis level was off the charts. I'm talking about I was ready to kill myself because I didn't want to continue doing what I had to do every day to get the next one. So I checked into a treatment facility, and I checked into a treatment facility out of sheer desperation. And I found out that I was powerless over a drug. And when I say a drug, I did multiples of drugs. I didn't have a drug of choice. I used drugs. I had a drug of preference, and if that wasn't available, I did drug of choice. Your choice, anybody else's choice, let's just do it. 'Cause I didn't like being me. Because early on in life, some things that occurred that I was powerless over, and I wanted to change it. But I can't change my reality. These things occurred, and these situations took place, and that was the reality of it. But for some reason, I thought that I could get in a mindset where all this stuff would go away. And all I was dealing with was the pains of life. I'm powerless over life, death, and a whole lot of other things. I'm also powerless over my disease when it's active. When my disease is active, my choices become very limited. So I got into a treatment facility, and most of us have that chameleon mentality where if I can get in, I can fit in. And I'm in a treatment facility, and my crisis level started declining. And the disease is still with me, and it's telling me that if you screw up here, you're going to get put out. So I complied with all the rules and regulations, and I did what was required of me, except for get honest. Like, I wasn't done yet. When I came around, the basic texts and IPs were the literature that was available. And there were some other books, but those were the basics that my sponsor sponsored me out of. And the basic text is it asks you a few questions that you have to honestly answer, like, are you done? And I wasn't done. So I was abstinent for a while. And I went back out. And my crisis level immediately went back off the charts. And I came back to Narcotics Anonymous, and I had something I didn't have the first time around. I had a willingness to do whatever it took not to be that guy no more. And I opened my mind up to some new ideas, because the book tells me you cannot graft a new idea on a closed mind. Because when I got here, man, my parents died when I was 5 years old. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. My parents died when I was 5 years old. By the time I was 10, if you tried to tell me what to do, I would tell you where to go and how fast you should get there. I was brought up on a lot of bad information that I carried on into my teens and my adulthood. So when I got here, I had some bad information. I'm a former Marine. So when I saw the word powerless, I didn't really dig it. But the evidence was there. I was powerless over drugs. 3 o'clock in the morning when the disease show up and wake me up, I ain't got no money. I'm getting dressed and I'm getting high. I don't know what I got to do. I don't care how I got to do it, but I'm going to get high. So being powerless was kind of evident. Y'all talked about surrender. Being a Marine, we don't do that, man. We don't do that. But I understood that the people that it was working for had surrendered. So I gave it a shot, and I come to find out that in this thing called addiction, surrender means victory. Because once I surrendered, like, I regained the power of choice. Like, I could still get high. I could still get high. But that's where step two come in at. Yo, I can't handle the consequences of getting high. You know, they say insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. If I bust a joke in the head, man, there's a strong possibility the police going to be looking for me. If I break in your house and rob you, you're probably going to want to hurt me. If I commit a crime, I'm probably going to go to jail. I know the results. And when I'm caught up, I don't care about the results until the results is at my front door. Then I understand I can't handle the consequences of my actions. So when I started listening to somebody who understood what this program was about, I started kind of getting an understanding of what was going on with me. Because most of my life, I wanted to be understood. I don't want to understand. Please understand me. But I started understanding versus wanting to be understood that not only was the drugs my problem, I was my problem. And my sponsor, I love this guy. I started our relationship off in an arrogant and cocky manner by telling the guy, I don't really like you, but would you be my sponsor? And he said it would be an honor. And I love him today because he's helped me grow up. I remember being in treatment. I was in my early, mid to late 30s. And A guy used to say to me every morning, "Good morning, brother. I love you. You need to grow the fuck up." Excuse my language. And I used to get mad. And like, I had contemplated kicking him down these concrete steps because I used to hate hearing that. Like, how dare you say that to me? But something occurred at the facility, and I didn't like what happened. And I remember how I reacted. I reacted just like a little kid. I had the tantrum going on, and I wanted to explain to some people, don't you know who I am? And I caught myself, and I started the process of growing up. Things don't always happen the way I want them to happen. And when they don't happen the way I want them to happen, I have to accept it. And my sponsor explained to me about acceptance, like I have to accept everything, even if I don't like it. And I had a real bad way of accepting something, not liking it, and showing you that I didn't like it. You know, I wasn't in agreement with what was going on, but I accepted. And because of some early on events in my life, I thought that was okay. And I come to understand that it's not okay when what I do causes me consequences I can't handle. So working with this gentleman, I started getting a better understanding about the ideas, the attitudes that I had. Because once I checked in the treatment, the behavior of using drugs on a daily basis was gone. I wasn't using regularly. I was not happy with it, but it was better than it had ever been. You know, I was able to sleep at night. I wasn't sleeping in a fetal position over, like, who I had hurt, and who I had disappointed, and who I had let down. And my sponsor, like I said, early on, he said some real neat stuff to me. Like, integrity is not what I say out my mouth, is what I do when nobody's watching. I used to pride myself on being sneaky, being slick. And that wasn't good characteristics. My sponsor also said to me, if you ask me to help you, don't tell me how to do it. Because I'm real good for saying, but if, and all them other things that it's cool for you, but me, I mean, that ain't how I roll. And I don't do stuff like that. And come to understand it, like, I came in here with a lot of learned behaviors, and what I needed to do was learn some new behaviors. And I had to open my mind and let y'all give me some new ideas and change my attitude, because the world don't owe me nothing. You know, I still have them somewhere laying around, a box of invitations to a pity party. And I don't fill them out anymore because shit happens, man. You know, and moving on, I remember getting to step three, and it says make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. I'm going to tell you a few things about me. I've been hit by 7 automobiles. I've overdosed 8 times. I've had my jugular vein severed. I've had pistols put to my head that didn't go off while they were pointed at my head, but they went off like immediately after being removed from my head, for some reason the bullet slid in the chamber or the hammer hit the back, whatever. But I've had some things happen in my life where God was evident. Like, I have evidence that there is a God. And I used to always ask him, like, yo, man, I'm ready to check out. Why won't you let me go? And, because I was tired. I was tired of, like, the shit we have to do to get the next one sometime can get real disgusting. And I don't know about nobody else's story. My active addiction was brutal. And it didn't want me to die. It just wanted to drag me around. And I got tired of the scrapes and the scars of being dragged. So when I got to the third step, I had to do something. I had to, like, let go of this resentment towards God. Because when my parents died, I was 5 years old, and it was God's fault. And I remember as a little kid doing my homework in my bedroom and verbally cursing God because he let this happen. And it shouldn't happen to me, and why me, and nobody else understands. And let me share something about that. My very first meeting, a guy shared my story, and it was an older white gentleman, and I've never seen this guy again. So he shattered my uniqueness right there. I stole from churches, and God was my enemy, but God was my friend. So when I got to the third step, I made a decision to counteract the decision I made as a child, because I made a decision as a child that I didn't want to be pleasing in the eyes of God. I'm going to show you, God, what you turned me into by taking my parents away. So I made a decision that I wanted to become a better person. And I understood, because of work in the second step, that it was going to take help from a power greater than me, a higher power. It was going to take help, because I came in here, I was fractured. I came in here and I had some things going on that weren't godly. And God works through people. And I remember being in treatment, and I went through a facility that has a Christian background, and my background as a child was Christian. And this is not a religious program, so I'm not spitting religion. I'm telling you my story. And I found out that God can't work through you until you allow him to work in you. And at some point early on, I asked God to help me. And I asked him to come into my life and do something that I couldn't do for myself. And that's changed me from the inside out. And some stuff started happening on the inside. Like the shame and guilt I brought in here wasn't crippling me every day. Because I stayed in my active addiction, I believe, as long as I did, because I was so shameful of the things I had done, which are the things I'm guilty of. My sponsor explained to me, guilt is the action, shame is the feeling. I'm going to always be guilty of something, but I don't have to be ashamed anymore. Because when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't maliciously set out to do wrong. The book tells me, and I'm not quoting where it's from, but it tells me that it comes a point where I can no longer plead ignorance. I can't say I don't know no more. I can't say that if I take an action I don't know, that is going to affect my insides. Because for a lot of years, that was my problem, man. It wasn't the external that was screwed up. It was the internal. And when I went inside and I started doing the work and I asked people to help me do the work, because I remember doing some things as far as writing goes early on, and I would show it to people and they would say, well, you minimizing it. Get to the exact nature. And I started getting honest about, like, a lot of stuff I did, I didn't want to do. You know, I would be with people that I didn't want to be with. I would take actions to be all right with you when the actions I was taking was not making me all right with me. So I started looking at that stuff. You know, when I make a decision, I do that daily. I make a decision daily to be a better person. Because look, the old guy is still lurking around. I laugh and I joke. I used to work with my buddies, a couple of guys in recovery, down at the garage. And we would be working and all of a sudden, I would get this feeling that nobody in the garage likes me. I don't know where that shit come from. But all of a sudden, these guys, they give me all the indication in the world that they love and they care about me, but all of a sudden, they don't flipping like me. And I would stop working, I would say, look, man, I need some reassurance, because right now I'm feeling like y'all don't like me. And they say, you crazy as a bed bug, and I'd be all right. I'm all right. I'm in the right place. You know, I started hanging around with people who would tell me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. I started hanging around with people who would tell me, that shit you're doing ain't cool. And you know, the truth hurts. But the pain I was going through wasn't as great as the pain that I was running from. So I stuck around long enough for some people to help me get some better behaviors and help me change my ideas. And my willingness to today is the same as it was when I checked in that facility on August 25th, 1997. I don't ever want to be like I used to be. And I don't know what I could be. I know if I pick up, I could be like that again. And for me today, that's not an option. It's just not. Because one of the things that I've seen since I've been around is like I never lose track of the fact I'm powerless. You know, I've watched people since I've been around come in, go out, not lose anything, keep their job. And that's all good, if it can happen for them that way. I don't believe it can happen for me like that. You know, when I first came around in 96, I was told that if you pick up right where you left off at. I ain't believe y'all. So I tried it. And the only thing was different was I wasn't on the streets of Philadelphia. That was the only thing different, man. On the inside, I felt just like I did when I left Philadelphia, like a piece of shit with a face on. So like today, 1, 2, and 3, I worked them constantly. You know, I love my sponsor because I stuck around long enough where it's always about the dope. I'll never get that twisted. It's always about the dope. But my sponsor told me to remove the word addiction and add a few other words like finances, like relationships, like career to the things that I'm powerless over. And this is when I was really into, I tell my sponsees today, I'm not into creative writing, but I was into creative writing back then. So when he asked me to take a look at those things, I make a little bit of money. A little bit of money. But for some reason, man, if I'm making, say, $8 an hour, I can go in the store and start shopping like I make $15 an hour. Since I got clean, man, I done maxed out a few credit cards and the people, they need their money. And right now, I don't have it to give to them. And I made my life unmanageable in my financial area of life. You know, in relationships, man, if you done with me, I got to accept that. Even if I ain't done with you. I have to accept that. Because if I don't, I'll make my life unmanageable trying to get you to understand why you shouldn't be done with me. When it comes to career, look, if I go to work and they tell me tomorrow that they downsize, and if I don't start looking for a job immediately, I will be walking around here next month talking about them fucking people. They don't know what they let go. And I've made my life unmanageable because now my bills are backing up and I can't pay people what I own. So I started, like, getting to understand what this is about. This is about all areas of my life. When they say we got to take this outside of the rooms, they mean that. And none of this stuff is original except for my story. And how I put these steps in my life. Because I can't make my life fit the steps. I found that out. Because I tried it for a little bit and things just wasn't going right. I had to make the steps fit my life. And I thank God for this program. You know, I don't know much, but I've learned a lot since I got here. And one of the things that I'm responsible for is applying this stuff. You know, I laugh and I joke about any and everything, but I don't joke about the process of recovery. I can tell you some jokes, but I don't joke about this. This is my life. And I remember when I got here, I didn't want it. I didn't want it. Because of what the disease of addiction had turned me into. Today I'm happy. Well, I'm not always happy. But I can say I'm joyous and free all the time. All the time. You know, this program is a blessing from the God of our understandings, even though it may not be the same to everyone sitting here. And I thank God that He chose me to, like, have the opportunity to enjoy, because before I got here, there was no joy in my life whatsoever. I laugh with a sponsee, and I pray for him daily that he gets back in the rooms. One night we were out having dinner, and we were talking about dreams, reawakening. And I guess for 15 years before I got here, the only dream that I could muster was being clean. And today I'm living my dream. Thanks for letting me share.